And last week we started just a message. We didn't get it finished, so I decided then I would finish it this morning on learning or the lessons of our days. The title of the message was "Those Were the Days." The Word of God has much to say about our days, and I'm sure there are many of us have special days that we remember, and there's obviously days when we would gladly forget. And we talk about days, the days that hold some memories and perhaps some regrets. And I was also thinking this morning, when we think of our days, they can either challenge us, they chasten us, or they can consume us. And I would trust and pray that they would compel us to be different people. And I want to take the reading, perhaps maybe we should do that first, from Psalm number 90 in the first 12 verses. And I believe we will get it finished this evening, or this morning, this afternoon, in good time. Psalm number 90, and then the text, it came from Job 32 and verse 7. Psalm number 90, and the psalmist speaking here in verse 1. "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and all the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And then Job 32 and verse 7. And here's what we learn from Elihu. "Behold," Job 32 and verse 7. Verse 7. "I said, days should speak, and multitudes of years shall teach wisdom." Days shall speak, and multitudes of years shall teach wisdom. Last week, as we were thinking about our days and the days in which we live and the times in which we lived, we first of all thought of the day that is behind us. That's yesterday. You can't get it back. It's spent and gone. Yesterday is only a memory. Yesterday is the day that we just came through. And so we suggested to you that we are to learn from our yesterdays. Learn from our yesterdays. The mistakes that we made. And I went through a number of those mistakes. The financial mistakes. Marital mistakes. Physical mistakes. Spiritual mistakes. I challenged you on every one of those points. And especially the spiritual mistakes of treating the things of God carelessly. Treating the place of God haphazardly. Take it or leave it kind of approach to the things of God. Allowing other things to creep into our lives to become much more important than the real business of seeking after God. of availing of every avenue and opportunity that God has given us. Because we don't want to get to the end of our lives and say, I regret not being more committed. I regret not being more involved. I regret not putting my hand to the plow. I regret those days that I've wasted for self. And what does it count for eternity? And I challenged you. Today is the beginning of the rest of your lives. And begin to live today as if you would never live another moment. Learn from our mistakes. I also brought to you that we are to learn from our excuses. Boy, we think God's stupid, don't we? We make some of the silliest excuses as to why we shouldn't be in his will. We use some of the shallowest excuses as to why we shouldn't be involved in his work. The busyness of home, the busyness of family, the busyness of life, the rat race that we're in, that we need to be involved, and all the time we're building for something that will disappear when our lives are gone. We're encouraged. The Word of God encourages us to store up treasures in heaven and forget about the wee kingdom down here. Some people make excuses as to why they're not seeing it. Too many hypocrites in the church. Well, I want to tell you there's hypocrites in the world. And why are you still in the world? I couldn't keep it. I'm not going to preach last week's message all over again. But I feel I would love to. Too many excuses. People make excuses for not serving the Lord. I'm not gifted. I'm not talented. I couldn't do that. I couldn't speak. I couldn't get up there and talk. That might not be what God's asking you to do. But that doesn't mean to say that you should run and hide. Excuses for not being saved. And so we need to learn from our excuses. And we need to learn from the difficulties that we come through. And I can only tell you what I have learned from the difficulties in my life, and they have been many. And just because you become a Christian does not mean to say that you will not have difficulties. Man, says Job, is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. And if you thought that a Christian shouldn't have trouble, then you have trouble with Stephen being stoned to death. And you have a problem with Paul, who was shipwrecked. And imagine, he was in the will of God, and he was about doing the work of God, and he got shipwrecked, and he was often beaten and left with an inch of death. So surely some people would say that if he was trying to do the will of God, then why did he make so much trouble? Or the disciples, as they were following the direction of Jesus Christ, and they were going across the Sea of Galilee, and of course a storm blew up. You'd have thought that the Lord had made it an easy course for them, wouldn't you? But he allowed a storm to blow up. And as a consequence of that storm, dear friend, they learned of aspects of his character that they would not have learned had they not been in the storm. Does anybody witness to what I'm saying? And I was going to tell you last week, and I forgot to tell you it. I remember whenever I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis about 35 years ago. I was lying on the hospital ward. And I says, Lord, I'm in a bad... And I wasn't saved at this time. I says, Lord, I'm in a bad state. And they had just after taken the fluid out of the spine, the lumbar area of my spine that's one of the tests that they do. And then I got all religious when I was lying on the table. You know what you do, don't you? You get all religious. And I said, Lord, if you get me out of this, I'll shout your name from the rooftop. And it wasn't until years afterwards that the Lord reminded me of that promise. You know, oftentimes, God has to bring us down before he can lift us up. Learn from your experiences. And so what does yesterday teach us? Learn from me. But then there's another day. Did anybody guess what it is? Today. Do you know that today is the only time that you have, that you're sure of? The moment that you're living. And glory to God, I have influence in it. This moment. It's the only time that you are sure of. It's the only, that moment that you have just now is the only time that's guaranteed to you. And God challenges two types of individuals with the moment that you have now. For those that are unsaved, he says, today if you hear his voice. He never says tomorrow. At least I'm getting an amen over here. or like Paul. Here's Paul speaking. This man that has served the Lord with all his heart says in Philippians 3, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do in this one moment I have, I press on. So to God's people, those of you who think you're going to throw in the towel or you're thinking of throwing in the towel, press on with God. Press through into victory. Press through that opposition. Press through that conflict. Press through that distraction, that depression. Press through that distress. Because there's victory on the other side. God didn't make you to be a chocolate soldier. He says, lean on me, learn from me, trust in me. Today says, use me. Use me. Now is the one precious, invaluable portion of time that belongs to you and me. Because now is the only portion of time about which we can be sure of and in which we can act on. You cannot act on what you did yesterday. You cannot even perceive of what you might act on tomorrow. Now, today is the only day that you can act upon that moment. And you can decide in this church. And those of you who are visitors, you might think I'm animated. But I tell you, I believe that we're coming to the end of the days. And it's only what's done for Christ will last. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hand will stop, at late or early hour. Someone else said that now must be looked upon as being vitally precious, as precious as a diamond in a jeweler's hand, as precious as a liter of blood to an anemic. As precious as medicine to the sick. I called to see a wee man. He's in the church today. He knows who he is. A few months ago, he was diagnosed with a cancerous tumor, quite large. I told him the other day, whenever I want to get encouraged, I just go and look at your face. He knows who he is now. He's in this church. And I said to him, I'll tell you when I'm discouraged or a wee bit just downhearted, why I come to look at your face. Because for 50 years he lived for the world, the devil, and in a moment God changed his life and broke all those fetters of sin and set him free. And I told him the other day, I reminded him of how I came to be at his house that day. I was driving around, I was going up the Doak Road, and the next thing, I felt it impressed. I didn't hear a voice now. Don't you think I hear voices? But I felt impressed upon my heart and needed to go to his house. I was after putting it fairly straight to him a couple of months before then. So I turned the car right around the road. I was glad the cops or the police, the PSNI, whoever they are. I turned the car right around and I went to his house and started talking to him. I'm ready, Pastor. And in a moment, within 2 minutes, he was born again of God's Spirit and has proven it with his life. And we're trying to work out, was it 4 or 5 or 6 years? I'm not so sure yet. four or five, and it's still going. Got news, bad news, cancerous growth in his body. Just before I went away, prayed with him. I was in the house yesterday. Was it Thursday or Friday? Not sure which one. I want to show you a letter, Pastor. This came from the consultant. There are clear signs that the tumor is significantly reduced, and we have nothing but positivity about your future. Isn't God good? How vital that medicine was. Just as vital as you're now. Some people are stuck in the past. Some people are living with regrets. Some people are so bogged down in the memories of what happened yesterday, they haven't got time to live for today. Today says, use me. Now, will you hear what I'm saying? It says, use me. Use me. Take every ounce, every aspect, every little bit of grace that you can get from God, because he has an open window for you, and you ask him to empower you, and you will do exploits. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And you think your life's over. It's not over till God's finished with it. Now, can I just apply that in a few ways to you? For those of you who are still not saved, God says, use today to get saved. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Paul said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. God never tells you to get saved tomorrow. God tells you to get saved today. Because today is the only day you have. Use today for your own personal salvation. Can I also apply it to the believer today? Use today as your day of spiritual revival. Here's what God's word says. Blessed be the Lord. Psalm 68 and 19, if you are taking notes. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with his benefits, even the God of our salvation. Daily? Have you got your load today from the Lord? Huh? Is your heart an open receptacle to the blessing of God? Revival means to live again. There are some people that I know, perhaps even in this church, and there was once a spring in their step. Boy, you couldn't embarrass them with the things of the Lord, even if you set out to try and do so. Nothing was too hard. Nothing was too deep. Nothing was too complicated, because the things of God were new and fresh in your heart. And you're alive to him. Boy, even the weeds in the garden looked lovely. God, you heard his voice. And every time, the markings on your Bible are the ones that you marked 40 years ago. But there's no marks in the last 10 years. You use today, because what I learned from the prodigal son and the story of the prodigal son is that the father watched and waited for him to come back. And who did the running? I can see the son dragging his feet. I wonder what my daddy will say. I wonder what my father's going to say. And the father, he's watching and waiting. I don't know how long he was gone, by the way. he's watching, and he sees, is that him? Is that him coming over the bridge? And the next thing the Bible says, and he ran to meet him. God will run to meet you. To revive means to bring life back to that which had life. You cannot revive something that never had life before. Revival means to bring back life again. Salvation brings life to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. The valley of dry bones is strewn with the relics and the remnants of a nation that once existed to the glory of God. And God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he says, Lord, thou knowest. And in a moment, he was to prophesy, and the Spirit of God came, and they became a nation. And we've seen that lived out in history in the nation of Israel. 2 weeks ago in the prayer meeting, I read this verse. Luke 8:54-55, the wee girl had died. The mourners were in the house. Jesus was called. And when he called, he put those negative, half-hearted, wishy-washy hypocrites out of the house. And it says, and he put them all out and he took her by the hand. And he called, saying, maid, arise. And I love this. And her spirit came again and she arose straightway. Let me say this to you. If you were to get down before God to be honest with him, Lord, I am nowhere. I'm not as excited about your word. I've let the world creep in. Things have deadened my old spirit, and I only half-heartedly hear you. But I want to be alive in Jesus. And I want Jesus to be alive in me. He promises personal revival. Use today as your spiritual revival. Third thing on today, and very quickly. Use today to enroll for service. Only one life till soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Jesus said, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. I say unto you, lift up your eyes unto the fields. They're white already to harvest. There are souls, listen, there are souls just waiting for you to arouse them to the things of God, to direct them to the cross of Christ, and to encourage them and influence them for time and for eternity. Who'll say, I enroll? It is my understanding that people enroll for this hobby and that hobby, or this night class and that night class, because they've got time on their hands. I want to tell you, maybe you've got all the wrong kind of time on your hands. And from the culture of Northern Ireland, everybody expects the pastor or one or two within the church to do it. My understanding is he sent them all out into the world to bring the gospel. Today says, use me. And it's just 3 minutes after 12:30, just to keep you right. I'm nearly finished. I have a lot in my heart, but I'm nearly finished. 5 minutes and I'm done. What about the day that's beyond us? Tomorrow. The day that's beyond us. Tomorrow. I love that wee verse, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. Listen, not only was he with us yesterday, not only is he with us today, but he promises he'll go with us into tomorrow. Into tomorrow. And he says in Psalm 2 and verse 8, ask of me and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Because he's with us today and he goes with us into tomorrow, then what does tomorrow tell us? Tomorrow tells us, expect from me. Expect from me. Expect answers to prayer. Now you say, I've been praying. Listen, man, you don't know how much I've been praying about me getting a bigger car. Or you've no idea how much I've asked the Lord for a brand new house. Listen, there's one thing to be praying for the kingdom, and there's another thing to be praying for your own kingdom. And when you are kingdom-minded, you're interested in the things pertaining to God. And I want to tell you, whenever he's saying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, it most definitely will come in hearts and lives that have need of something that's new, because his kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness, holiness, and godliness. Expect answers to prayer when you're praying aright. Expect a harvest for your sowing. Be not weary in well-doing, but in due season ye shall. Oh, are you half asleep? Like, I've danced around this pulpit to try and keep you awake. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall. If you faint not, don't give up the fight. The devil will tell you that the battle is over, the devil has won. No! Listen, he is building his church. And if he is building his church, he has never failed yet. Expect a harvest for souls. Expect Jesus to come. I was taking a youth meeting a few years ago, and this young fella ran up to me, and he says, do you remember me? And I says, no, how long are you talking about? He says, 20 years. And he was only 7, so he was 27, all right? And I said, he'd changed physically. He was no longer a baby. He says, well, I want to tell you, he says, in one of your children's meetings, I got saved. I didn't even know it. It was in Tobermore. And we were teaching memory verses. We taught 5 memory verses, one every day, because we did children's meetings whenever we had our mission. And he says, let me tell you the verse that brought me to Christ. And I remember teaching him this one. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. He says, I'll put the fear of his return. And he was only a few years old. And to put the return of the Lord into his heart, and he got saved. Him and his sister, by the way. It could happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I'm sure you don't want to be caught out. You want to be caught up. And here's the last thing about tomorrow. Expect that tomorrow you'll come face to face with Jesus. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? Ah, folks, we learn from our yesterdays, don't we? Learn from them. We learn from our todays, because he's with us today. Use me. And we learn about tomorrows. With Christ on our side, we can expect from me. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that your word will truly and genuinely penetrate our hearts, cause us to rise up as men and women who will love God and seek for the glory of him who loves us. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to finish with a song, and I love every word of it, and we're singing all 4 verses. 709, there's a call comes ringing over the restless waves, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light. I love this song, and I trust you'll sing it with the joy and the excitement that I have in my heart. Let's stand and sing. Let's stand.
Oh,
fill our hearts. And if you have a desire or a decision to make and you want to speak with me, then I will gladly take that time. But you can just quietly, where you are standing, just say, Lord, I've heard your voice. And I'm going through today. I'm going through today. And if you mean it, he'll equip you to fulfill it. Now, Father, part us in thy fear and with thy blessing. And may the Spirit of God and the love of God and the presence of Jesus be our portion now and until Jesus comes or calls. We ask it in his name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
And they shouted,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.